Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the unrivaled company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been too long since we've had you on a Friday morning.
I know. It's been over a month. Over a month.
I want a decade of the rosary from you, actually. So let's start with Eoin Burke Kennedy. He's got a piece in the Irish Times about more buoyant tax receipts for the government.
Yeah, this is, you know, people are probably getting fed up listening to the better tax returns. But I think the really interesting point here is, and we've been flagging this for quite some time, the reliance of the country on particularly corporation tax. And this set of results now show that actually corporation tax has seen a 25% decline year over year in the first quarter of this year. Now, I wouldn't quite hit the panic buttons just yet, because this can be quite lumpy. So, you know, by the end of the year, it might balance out quite a bit. But I think, you know, when you look at it, it is the second largest element of tax that the government takes in after income tax. And, you know, it generated 2.4 billion euros in the first 3 months. So it is very, very important. And I think the other thing that's worth looking at is, and obviously Michael McGrath's been saying this for a while, because of the nature of it, it's important when we're getting these kind of bonus times, if you will, from corporation tax to try to squirrel some of it away. And they have, as a result, put in place these two new programs to try to squirrel up to 100 billion away in order to fund future health and pension costs down the line.
Now, the Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue, will be talking about this very subject on News Talk Breakfast from 7 o'clock with Ciara and Shane. Yes, it's worrying that the corporation tax figure has gone down 25%. That seems like a huge dip. But I suppose the government, to their credit, has been flagging this, that it's something that it's of a windfall nature for quite a while.
Yeah, it is. And look, the most important thing with all of these is when you get windfall gains like this is to make sure that you don't bake it into your current expenditure, because, you know, your current expenditure can't necessarily be cut once you've put it up. And therefore, when the honeypot that's actually paying for it disappears, you're kind of left and you have to go back and start scrambling for money elsewhere. So I think it's a good idea that they've been doing this and have flagged it well out. Look, I think the other thing that's interesting in these set of results is that income tax continues to grow as well. It's up nearly 8% over the same period last year. That definitely reflects the buoyancy in the labour market. It's a record 2.71 million people at work, and that's obviously good. And then the other thing, it's kind of a twin-edged sword. VAT receipts were up nearly 5.5% on the year at about 7 billion. The funny thing there, I suppose, is that obviously that some of that is down to the fact that higher inflation means that because of that just goes on top of whatever the sales price is. You know, some of that increase is due to what we're seeing in terms of the cost of living increases.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to Caoimhe Gordon in The Independent. She has a story about the IDA. They're not happy with new EU rules.
No, and I think this is actually a really important one, and it's not just around the life sciences area that this story is in particular is about, but the chief executive of the IDA suggested that increased regulation from the EU is off-putting to investors in life sciences, and it's really around areas of research and development and things like that. And what he's saying is, you know, he's citing the European Federation of Pharmaceutical Industries, and they've said that the US has attracted more than two-thirds of all new R&D in the year 2020. And if you go back to 2010, that was only about a third more back in 2010. So there's definitely something going on. And I think, you know, they're looking at putting in a couple of new changes now where, you know, the commission is looking for basically that everybody must market all new drugs in all 27 countries within 2 years of a product launch. And that's quite a problem for smaller pharmaceutical firms and the like that may not have.
Well, they won't be able to market in Malta and Cyprus and maybe Latvia. That's tough because there's a language as well as size issues there.
And also then, you know, in terms of tableting and packaging and all that type of thing, and distribution into those areas. And I think, you know, it's things like that that are just putting people off. And the other thing, I suppose, that is a potential problem going down the line is they're looking to reduce the minimum period of regulatory protection to 8 years, down from a previous 10 years for all new medicines. And like what people could talk about, you know, the price of medicines and things like that, what they fail to realise is that, you know, you might get 10 years of exclusivity on a market, but you know that's not, you know, the full life cycle of the drug. It's probably been 10 years prior to that, you know, it's gone through R&D and then through testing and then through clinical trials and all of this. So, you know, there's an awful lot of money tied up in, you know, the life cycle of a drug. And if you're going to reduce the you know, marketing protection down to eight years, you know, there'll be a lot of companies that go, you know, the balance of return on invested capital over the life cycle of the drug just isn't there. And maybe we see, you know, R&D reducing down and new drug development reducing down.
Yeah. Another IT blackout was highlighted by Adrian Weckler in the Irish Independent today.
Yeah, this is yesterday. The Bank of Ireland Online had basically an outage that left customers without service for 4 hours. They're saying it was a technical difficulty event that they had to take the whole system down in the afternoon yesterday. And it's not just about people using the app. It was also obviously now that we have to all do this two-stage authentication when it comes to using our credit card online, trying to get verification for any of the processes. We're obviously offline as well. So it is a big problem. And look, it just highlights one of the major issues as you move into the newer forms of technology and you have old legacy systems, trying to get everything to marry up can be quite difficult.
Yes, indeed. And of course, I suspect the central bank will look at this because they have issued fines on banks for IT failures and IT downs in the past. The extent of the disruption caused by the Houthi attacks on global shipping in the Red Sea has been highlighted by the IMF.
Yeah, and look, I think this hits a few very important points. The IMF has said basically that shipping volume has dropped 55% year on year in the first quarter of 2024 because of what's gone on and in terms of the Houthis attacking shipping in the Red Sea. Not only that, you know, the volumes that are still going through, we've seen a substantial price increase in terms of the transport costs. Like the Suez Canal, basically everything for Europe from Asia comes through the Suez Canal, or did until this matter. So we've seen, obviously, you know, in terms of risk and insurance, that the price of that transport that is still coming through the Red Sea has gone up massively. But I think more importantly, and where it has a global knock-on effect, is that 55% that are now, you know, going around the Horn of Africa, it's taking several days longer to go around the Horn of Africa, which basically ties up cargo supply and boat supply. And that means that because you're on the water longer, the actual price even going around the Horn of Africa, we've seen substantial increases. And we've talked about this in the past, that, you know, if you look at a container coming from Asia through to Europe, you know, back at early December, you were probably talking about 1,700. You know, you could be looking at something like 4,000 for the same car, for the same cargo container coming around. And it's not just a European issue. Because of this taking supply out of the shipping network, we've actually even seen routes like Hong Kong to LA go up substantially as well. So people say, well, kind of, so what, you know, the goods are getting there eventually. But if you're transport costs are going up, as we saw through the debacle post-COVID, that goes to price increases. And you know, companies can only wait a little while before they have to start passing these higher costs on in terms of higher prices.
Thanks, Aidan. Doing anything nice at the weekend? I hear you're getting delivery of a couple of suits from Savile Row.
No, I'm going to see Leinster play Leicester tomorrow night. That's what's on the cards.
Okay. Have a wonderful weekend, Aidan. That's Aidan Donnelly from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.